can take out drivers witness to customers. This is interesting. Stay tuned.
That's attorney David Gibbs Jr., and this is the Legal Alert.
As the popularity of delivery companies continues to rise more and more, Americans are finding gainful employment as delivery drivers. One such driver, Stephen, received a warning from his employer after he would hand out a gospel tract to each customer along with their food. He asked our attorneys at the Christian Law Association, was his boss violating his First Amendment rights? Well, Stephen's heart was surely in the right place. Unfortunately, the answer was no. Private companies have the right to control what religious image, if any, their company and employees set forth to customers. This is an important right, as it also allows Christian-owned companies to be public with their beliefs. In the workplace, the employer has the right to control what image they wish to present. Be sure you know the law, and thank you for being a fervent witness, but it has to be done in accord with the law.
Why not get the answers you need for the legal question that's nagging you? Visit christianlaw.org. That's christianlaw.org.
And we're now 8 minutes after 12 noon on our Thursday, and Swap Shop coming up here in just a little bit with myself and Brianna Quinn, and we would love to have you hang around if you got some time. Brother Eddie's fine. He's just taking a couple of days vacation and going to spend some time with his family, so I hope they have a great time. But we're looking forward to Swap Shop today, and again, would love to have you hang around with us. If you've got an item, a couple of different ways you can reach us: by phone, 828-884-9427. By email, wgcr@icloud.com, or you can log on to our website. You'll find us at wgcr.net. Taking us up to Swap Shop, a new song from the Kingsmen, When the Old, Old Story Was New.
If I had been there to see it all happen on the hills just outside Bethlehem, I would gaze at the stars where the angels sang glory, find the place there was no room for him. If I had been there that day at the Jordan when John looked up and called him the Lamb, I would trace every step that took him to Calvary, watch the nails pierce his feet and his hands. But I'm here in this moment 2,000 years later. I know in my heart it's all true. So I'll tell it today like I would have back then, when the old, old story was new. If I had been there to hear he is risen, I'd run to that cold empty tomb. I would stand on the mount where Jesus ascended and rejoice that he's coming back soon.
New.
And the old, old story was new.
So I tell the old story was new.
This is Roger Walton with a moment from our Christian musical heritage.
Like me, I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Eugene Bartlett is the writer of this song of victory. He was enjoying being in good health in the mid-years of his life when a stroke hit him hard. He had worked for a music company that published Shape Note singing books. He also established the Hartford Music Institute to train teachers and musicians. But his stroke in 1939 left him partially paralyzed and unable to travel and sing as before. So he spent his new free time studying the Bible and counting his blessings. This was his last song of some 800. It was hard to write in his condition, but what words to write in that condition? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Thank God for victory in Jesus.
And the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
A Christian Musical Heritage Moment is a production of Anchor Broadcasting.
That familiar theme, we welcome you to Thursday, which I almost said it was Wednesday, so sorry, but it's Thursday, 14th day of October. I'm Christy Johnson.
And I'm Brianna Quinn.
It's okay.
Still happening 6 months later.
It's okay. You use Fanning, you know, regularly for
21 years.
So there you go. Almost. Yeah. So it's okay. We'll give you some time for adjustment. But we hope everybody's having a good day. And Brother Eddie is fine. He just taken a couple of days with his family. And so he'll be gone today and tomorrow. And I hope they have a great time. And the weather is spectacular. And the fall colors, I had a report here of all the leafologists, all the smart people who know what makes the leaves do what they do. And they said that fall is running a little bit behind as far as color.
Yeah.
And they're saying it's just been too warm
because
it has to have cold weather for the leaves to quit producing what they produce to make their leaves green.
Yeah.
So we've got colder temperatures coming by the latter part of the weekend. Let me get the exact. We're going to be in the low 40s Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night in the upper 30s. And then we'll be in the 40s. Yeah. So we're going to be more seasonal. It's fall.
Yeah. Well, I just went camping Friday and Saturday, and it was so, for me, it was nice because it was still warm for it to be October, yeah, almost mid-October, and to still be warm enough to go camping comfortably.
Yeah.
It was unusual.
It's no fun to freeze. Mm-mm. I mean, I don't enjoy it. No. I don't really know many people who do.
The place that I go camping, you can't get there by vehicle. You have to ride horses 3 hours in. So everything that we carry is on horse. I bring a pack horse, but still all of our food, all of their food, all of our camping supplies, everything has to be hauled in on a horse. And once you get going, there's no turning back because it's 3 hours out, 3 hours in, you're not near anything. And so you have to be very resourceful in your packing. Wow. And I always worry that I'm not going to bring enough blankets that I'm going to freeze.
I have a great respect for you. Me, I'm thinking camping. I'm camping on my porch.
Yeah.
You know, and if things get bad, I can go inside.
Yeah. You know. I'll tell you something, though. Me and my friend who went, because it was just me and her, and like I said, it's 3 hours in, 3 hours out, and we promised that we'd never tell the story, but here I am going to tell it on the radio.
It's okay. I won't tell
anybody. We went camping, and we didn't really give much thought at the fact that it had been raining for like 7 or 8 straight days. And, you know, I brought my kennel and, you know, all that stuff, well prepared. I brought my lighter and all that to make a fire. And we had been fishing that day, and so it starts to get kind of like dusk, and we're like, well, let's go make a fire. And we couldn't find anything dry. I mean, nothing. And I brought a hatchet. And so I'm like, well, if I chop into the middle, you know, if we can chop this wood and we can get to the middle of it, it'll be dry there. Chopped into it, everything was wet, even in the middle. And so for over an hour, we tried to start a fire. We're not successful. And everything that I brought was raw. I had like, you know, raw steak, raw onions, you know, bell peppers, all that, you know, everything. And for breakfast, eggs and bacon. So I'm like, what are we going to do? Like, there's no backup. We're 3 hours out. You know, I burnt all my kindling. There's no fire starting. Like, what do we do? And she jokingly, she looked at me and she said, I'm not above burning my towel. And I laughed. And then I looked at her and she said, it's our only choice. And I'm like, I don't think it'll burn long enough for us to cook dinner. But it did. So we used her towel to cook our dinner on, and we used my towel to cook our breakfast on. I have a picture, and we made it work.
Amazed it burnt that long.
I am too. But what we did is we cut it into strips, and we would light it on fire, and it had a big enough flame that, you know, it was big enough to cook our food, and then I would just feed those strips into what was already burning. And I have a picture. We cooked a full-on wonderful meal. I mean, steak.
On a towel.
On a towel. And we laughed so hard because I'm like, we'll burn your towel for breakfast and we'll burn my towel for dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would not have thought of that. I'd have to say, I'm thinking, okay, I'll burn some kind of box. I'll burn something else that something's in. But you didn't even have that.
No, because
wood ever dry out, or you just strictly burnt the towels?
We just strictly burnt the towels.
Did it smell weird?
No, and that's because I told my dad about it, and he, of course, I mean, just laughed and laughed.
Yeah, I respected you before, but now, wow.
But the thing is we are 3 hours into the mountains, and there is nothing. I mean, nothing anywhere close to there.
And your food was raw, so you had
somehow cook it. And we only brought the bare necessities.
God love
and
you.
And so, yeah, and I just laughed because I was like, this is a story. I'm like, if I get old and have dementia and won't remember my own name, I'll probably remember this story.
The night we burnt the towels to be able to eat.
To cook our dinner. I laughed so hard. And the thing is, you know, it's one of those like $7 Walmart towels or whatever. I said I would have paid $50 just to get this fire built, you know.
To have food. Yeah. Wow. Burning a towel. No, I'm thinking, okay. I thought maybe you'd burn. Never would have thought a towel.
No, and it was so funny because I told her, I'm like, you know what? I'd go anywhere with you. Because people are already, you know, both of our husbands, they were like, you know, that's kind of, because, you know, there's no cell service out there. So if something does happen, you know, it is kind of risky because you're 3 hours in or whatever. And they're like, are y'all sure? Just the two of you? And like, we're like, no, we got this.
We can do this.
We can do this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was like, we're going to make a fire. Whatever we have to do, we're going to make a fire. So
we're going to burn whatever will burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of gotten desperate and tried to make a fire, and I've went and got stuff to like start it. I got like rubbing alcohol. That didn't work. I tried cooking oil, and it really didn't work. I got some of my husband's aftershave. My fire smelled very good, but it didn't burn very long. But we were trying everything, and I was trying to light wet wood.
Yeah.
I was trying to burn a brush pile that had been there for a while, but it had rained too much.
Yeah.
But God love you. Go, Brianna. Hey, you're on my team. If I'm ever have to pick somebody, you know, to be like on Survivor type thing with, I'm going to go to the girl who burns a towel to make supper.
Yeah, I got
and
it.
And breakfast.
I told her, I was like, because I was so hungry at that point, I was like, you know, I have some t-shirts in my backpack that I'm not that I'm not too attached to, you know.
If your steak's not done enough.
That's what I told her. I was like, if our steaks don't get, you know, done enough, I got some clothes in my backpack that I'm not too partial to.
I'll just wear what I got on tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll be
it'll
fine.
Be
we'll
fine.
Burn everything.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Oh. Well, you know, back in the blizzard, thinking of people burning what they had in the blizzard of 93, there were people visiting, and for folks who don't know here, we the blizzard of 93 for people around here, we know what
it's
that was
talked about all the time. My
it
parents
is
talk
kind of
about
those
it.
Earmarks, you know, of life.
Yeah.
And you gauge, was that pre-blizzard or post-blizzard?
Yeah.
But it was March, and it had been warm, it had been very mild, and they were talking about a front coming in and a system that could bring some snow, and I won't say people were skeptical, but you know, I don't know that any of us took it as serious as it ended up becoming. But you know, we as it got closer to the time for it to start snowing, or they said it would, you know, people had bought up, you know, some supplies, but it ended up snowing over 3 feet of actual snow.
Yeah.
There were places that got more. And then there were drifts, you know, 6 feet deep or deeper. And it pretty much paralyzed our area.
Yeah.
And there were people visiting here that were back up on top of some of the mountains in like Casher, Sapphire, Lake Toxaway in that vicinity. And, you know, they were visiting. They had like an Airbnb at one of the houses up on, you know, top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Folks ended up burning furniture because they were freezing. I mean, I won't call it life and death, but I guess it could have been,
You
know, because, we had, our vent on our furnace, you know, the pipe, we have had a double wide and, the furnace had a vent pipe up on the roof.
Yeah.
It snowed that over. So we lost heat. Well, of course, we lost power. Everybody lost power. So my brother and his wife walked down from their house up on, they lived about, I would say, maybe less than a quarter of a mile up the drive past us, but it was straight up. He and his wife came down. I was pregnant with Eden. Joanna was little. Corey was probably 4. So my brother put Corey on his shoulders. My sister-in-law put Joanna in a sled, and we packed what food we had. We knew we were going to be there while I'd made chili, so packed them in, and I just walked because I was expecting.
Yeah.
We walked up that snow. Joe was carrying just backpacks, you know, for our clothes and for the kids, but walking up that in that deep of snow, it took us probably 2 hours just to walk up that drive. And I can see my brother and him, they had wood heat, so we were okay, and we could cook on their wood stove. But people, the National Guard came in to help people.
Yeah.
And it was something. So I can see how people would burn furniture, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in an emergency, you'll do whatever. I mean, you know,
you'll
burn a towel to make supper.
You'll burn your towel to make supper.
I'm going to make sure I pack a towel when I'm going camping.
If you don't
forget wood.
Towels forget everything else. Just bring your towel.
You know, a towel waste. I wonder, you might be on something there, Brianna.
You know, I really might because, I mean, and it was just so funny because we had been trying to start this fire for an hour. We had done everything we could possibly think of. There was nothing left to burn. I mean, we burned up all of our toilet paper trying to get the fire started.
What
are we going to do?
And your friend, like, ingenious, but y'all should come up with something and go on like Shark Tank or something and say, we got something because it's less, you know, carrying in firewood, that's, yeah, you know, that's a lot to pack. Well, yeah, I'm impressed. And so also I learned something today. So I'm going to make sure I've got my towel no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what. Got a text in. Thank you to 4228. They text in, mentioned something about the fields of faith, and I'll get to their text in just a moment. But let me preface with what a great, great night at Rosman High School Silverstein Stadium on the football field, as Rosman's FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they hosted a wonderful night, Fields of Faith. And there was a host of volunteers from FCA that were there, adults, I don't know whether they were teachers or just family that, you know, worked with FCA, and then students and former students, and then of course Nate and Deanna Bumgarner, who work with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I just can't say enough good about all that they continue to do, what they've done in the past, and the young people's lives that have been impacted by their outreach. So God bless y'all. Thank you to every single person that had a part in making last night happen. And there was more people there than I was anticipating. I'm not a great ballparker, but I heard some other people say in the neighborhood of 500 people were there. The football field was, I mean, there was a good crowd. Yeah. I wish I would have been able to get up higher because I wanted to take a photo, because the ones that are at eye level really don't do it justice for how many people were there. Had I thought, I would have went up the stadium, but I didn't think. I thought of that just now. Yeah. But it was just phenomenal. So, and the results, God knows, and several came forward. And I'm glad the Lord dealt with hearts,
yes,
and
ma'am,
softened them to the preaching of His Word. And someone texted in, said, thank you so much to Anchor Baptist and Feeding by Grace for providing the meal last night. And it was a pleasure. There was a lot of folks that helped, and we had a blast. I'll just, from my part, I had a good time. Dropped a chicken patty and some fries here and there, but I don't think I burnt anybody.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I didn't get that. No, I didn't bleed or burn or cry.
Well,
so it's a good night.
It's a good night, yeah.
If you only knew me, I'm not very graceful. But anyway, so it is something. But it was a great time. And to Mark White and others that made that happen, God bless you. And I don't want to start naming names because I would forget somebody. But a crew that went up early and cooked and prepped. And God bless you all. But thank you, and I will be sure to pass that word along. And it was our pleasure, speaking on behalf of the ministry here, it was our pleasure to be a part of that great night. And so God bless you all that had a part in it. And thank you for those kind words. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We had, you had a hamburger or chicken, a chicken sandwich or hamburger. And it was real chicken, like chicken breast, cooked chicken, not prefab. It was real deal chicken, and burgers and french fries. And the only thing I can say is that Barry Hernandez was a slow fry cooker. I can hear him now. My phone's gonna blow up. No, Barry was part of it. He was doing the fries.
Oh, okay.
And so I would start to see the bottom and like, Barry needs the fries. And he was like, I just gave you some. So I started telling him I needed them when I really didn't yet, but it was coming.
Yeah.
But no, it was a great night. And again, thanks to everybody that had a part. And there was folks, let me say, even ahead of time from last night, there was a crew that was in here on Tuesday night prepping the hamburgers and making the patties. And there were lots of folks that made cookies ahead of time and packaged them and sent them to be served. So there was a bunch of folks that had a part in that. And I'm glad the Lord knows everybody, because I'd start to forget a name. And I sure would appreciate folks, you know, if you see somebody out saying thank you again to FCA and the Bumgarners and those. Someone called in and said that last night her granddaughter got saved. there.
Really?
At the Fields of Faith service. Well, how
Praise
about
the
that?
Lord.
You know what? You can mark any expense, anything
yep.
paid in full, done in good. One soul came to know Christ.
And it makes me think of that song, It'll Be Worth It All, if just one more soul walks down the aisle.
And there were several came forward, and but to know that, yeah, hallelujah, Mrs. Galloway, we rejoice with you and your granddaughter there getting saved. And again, it was worth it. To God be the glory.
Praise the
and,
Lord.
And so you pray for the young people that, and there were some adults that came forward as mm-hmm. well. Pray that the Lord would seal those things in their hearts and would put them in connection with, a good friend mm-hmm. to help them, and also a good church. And there were several churches there last night. Just a good time. I bless the Lord for all
Amen.
That he did and thankful for it.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's see, Brianna, let me get traffic here real quick if I can. And we continue, and it's probably going to be ongoing. We'll just call it I-26 construction. From Brevard Road through Malfunction Junction, as you come into 26, you have got a slowdown east and westbound right around the Brevard Road exit, and then you are going to be slow. Long Shoals is slow, and it's slow back toward the airport and actually a little bit past the airport. So it's kind of a touch and go today. And then you've got a little slowdown over around Naples in that area. Heavy traffic on 64 in Hendersonville's Restaurant Row, which is by the Blue Ridge Mall. I always want to call that something different. Is that the name? Blue Ridge Mall?
Yeah.
So right through there, you got all those fast food restaurants. Mm-hmm. Heavy traffic right there today, a little bit more than normal. And then as we speak right now, and I say it softly, everything's looking pretty good at the Green River Bridge. But I feel that I have to talk quietly when I say
that. You better
that.
Hold your breath.
Yes, because it could change, because every day this week we have had major backups and even accidents throughout the afternoon, because you merge down to one lane in each direction across the bridge, because they're starting that 3-year revitalization to add extra lanes.
Yeah.
And that bridge is 225 feet, if I remember correctly.
Mm.
Yeah. So slow down, merge early when they ask you to, and be safe. And I'd say, even though you're going slow, it wouldn't be a time to check your messages or anything like that, because slow, stop and go, you could glance up and think the car in front of you is moving, and you're just going to ease up behind them, and it ends up they weren't moving much at all. They just had a leg cramp and had to take their foot off the brake.
Yeah.
Yeah, been there, done that. Okay, so that seems to be the major things that I'm seeing. And there's I-85 South is closed until 5 o'clock this afternoon. I-85 South is closed until 5, and there's an accident on I-85 North that's before Gaffney. So if you're traveling in that vicinity or plan to, do a rework if you can. I know they've had some road closures there because they're trying to do a big revitalization project there as well. There's a lady in Turkey who now is the owner of another Guinness World Record. Yeah, the Guinness World Records, I find them interesting. Some of them I find bizarre.
Yeah.
Some are weird.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of gross me out, you know?
Yeah.
And now, you know, I don't care how many bugs you can eat in 10 minutes or an hour. I don't know, but that's probably a Guinness record.
Probably.
But this one is, the lady is 24 years old, and she has been confirmed as the world's tallest living woman.
Oh.
Yeah, she has a condition called Weaver syndrome, which caused the excessive height. And she is 7 feet, 0.07 inches tall. So just over 7 feet tall. She's 24. And due to her condition, her height, she has to use a wheelchair most of the time to get around. 7 feet.
Wow.
And she said that she has a very good outlook on things. She said, you know, sometimes you just have to take those things that the world may look that are against you and turn them around and make a positive. And she said, I've got to meet a lot of people because of this. So
that's a very good positive outlook on it.
Yeah, I thought it was too. But wow, I can't imagine 7 feet, just a little over 7 feet tall.
Wow.
Now, the world's tallest man is also from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
He stands 8 feet, 2.5 inches tall. Now, I've got some Bible scholars that are listening, and maybe you can tell me, what was the height of Goliath? Because I've heard it said before, but I can't recall.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. 828-577-1296. Somebody can tell us that. But anyway, that's some Guinness World Records. There's also another one. This is from a lady in Connecticut. And she has got the world's largest mouth. I'm not kidding. That's her.
Oh, no. I've seen videos of her.
Yep.
She does like...
She puts crazy things in her mouth show you she can.
Like, she'll try to put like 8 donuts in her mouth at a time and like these huge sandwiches. Yeah.
She said she could hold a whole order of large fries from McDonald's at one time.
Yeah. She does like all these crazy videos online of like the different things that she can eat. And
yeah. And she too said, hey, it's what I have.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make the most of it and see where, you know, they say that her mouth gape measures 2.5 inches, but when it's measured across, it's 4 inches. So I guess to me, that didn't seem excessively large, but I know we're both going, how big is my mouth? I don't know, but there you have the Guinness World Records.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody text in. Thank you to 6220, 7 feet, 8 inches.
7 feet, 8 inches.
For Goliath.
Wow.
So, yeah. Okay, hang on. Let's see. Hang on just a second. Somebody else texted in. Goliath may have been as tall as 9 feet, 2 inches.
Mm.
So maybe there's some digging there. But either way, he was a giant.
Yeah.
But we know the rest of the story, don't we?
Yes, ma'am.
God was bigger took that stone and put it right where it needed to be.
Yes, ma'am.
Reminder, tomorrow is the 15th, and that's probably not a shocker to a lot of folks. But I wanted to remind you, tomorrow is Bosses Day.
Ooh.
Yeah. So remember those that you work under. And we sure appreciate Pastor Barton.
Yes, ma'am.
Around here leading the ministry and our upline here as far as our day-to-day activity. So make sure to do something special for your boss tomorrow for Bosses Day.
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was looking earlier on... what happened in today's history. I don't know what you would... I remember Brother Roger Walton used to do that.
Yep.
Today in history.
Yeah.
But today, I found it interesting because today, Chuck Yeager, this day in history, he broke the sound barrier. And he was a U.S. Air Force captain, and my husband's in the Air Force, so I found it kind of neat. But he became the first person to fly faster than the sound of speed.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty neat.
That's insane to think that actually happened,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It was on October 14th, 1947.
Yeah. So go back to 47 and think what the technology we have now, and it's still a feat to do it, but think what they had then, but they made it happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
It says that he flew over the X-1 X-1 over Rogers Dry Lake in Southern California. The X-1 was lifted to an altitude of 25,000 feet by a B-29 aircraft and then released through a bomb bay, rocketing to 40,000 feet and exceeding 662 miles per hour, which was the speed barrier at that altitude.
Wow. I'm thinking, how do we, you know, trying to control that, the force that he must have felt.
I have no idea. It says that it was designed with thin, upswept wings that streamlined, and it was modeled after a .50 caliber bullet.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about planes, but...
I don't either, but I could see they're trying to cut down the wind resistance to it.
Yeah.
great day. I guess they basically shot it out of the back of that plane.
Yeah. They would have to, I guess.
Yeah. But, my.
Pretty neat,
though.
Well,
was it yesterday that some people that had probably way too much money and spent it on going into space for like 10... It was a really quick visit. But it's been making news today.
Yeah.
The private people, they sent like 4 people. And they had a brief moment. I think they had just a few seconds of weightlessness. But they actually classified going into orbit. They crossed that barrier.
Yeah.
And then came back and landed. I have no idea how much. They said it was 6 figures, I think, to pay it to go. I'm not interested, even if they were offering it free today. I would pass on that, but I'll be taking my flight that way, via the rapture. That's my time when I'm heading out of this world. I'll be heading out of this world. I won't head back. So there you go. But in the meantime, if you're wanting to take a pre trip somewhere and getting, you know, as close as you can in the physical realm to outer space, you can wait and see. They say in a couple of years that it'll be maybe more readily available to people to make trips to outer space.
Wow.
But would you want to go? Like, okay, if it was free and you didn't have to pay anything.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a pretty big fan of the Earth from down here. I like exploring it and seeing it from this side.
Me too. I'm with you, girl. Someone texted in our question about the height of Goliath. Someone texted in, 2962, said that one text had Goliath at 9 feet 9 inches tall. So maybe there's a little bit of debate in there and to see. But thank you for texting in. Well, Miss Brianna, we'll go ahead. I'm trying to watch the clock here. And my big clock that I watch on the screen is, my screen is off. So I'm all in a world of turned upside down topsy-turviness now that one screen is gone. I'm such a creature of habit.
Yeah.
I look for the day. I look for the time all in the same place.
Yeah.
But it is Swap Shop time here on our Thursday. And if you'd like to get an item on, why don't you call us? That'll be the quickest way. 828-884-9427. And I'll let you get started, or do you want me to do the first one?
You can go ahead and do the first one if you want to.
Yeah, I had pre-read it, so it might be a little easier. The Sunrise Baptist Church in Asheville, they have a yard sale every year, and it's coming up the last 2 Saturdays of this month, so the 23rd and the 30th of October. They're going to have their yard sale from 8 to 5, both of those Saturdays. And they say they've got furniture, household items, clothes, a piano, and a bunch more. Too much to list. And again, so the 23rd and the 30th of October, 8 to 5 each day at Sunrise Baptist Church, 419 Deverview Road in Asheville. And if you'd like more information, you're welcome to call 828-253-2808. Again, 253-2808.
There will be a blood drive in the Fellowship Hall of Anchor Baptist Church, and this is going to be on November 12th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. To register, you can go to the redcrossblood.org. Or you can call them at 828-884, or you can call us, I guess. That's our number.
Yes.
828-884-9427. Walk-ins are welcome, but an appointment will help shorten your wait time. And for more information about how your donation can help, you can go to redcrossblood.org. Or call 828-884-9427.
Yeah, we do 2 blood drives a year. One is kind of planned around Veterans Day, the other around the 4th of July. And Brother Daniel Nicholson heads that up for us. And so we trust that we usually fill up. And so you can go online and you'll type in Anchor Baptist or put in your zip code, and our blood drive will come up and you can see the appointment times that are available. Here we have 2 cemetery plots for sale. They're located in the Blue Ridge Gardens of Memory, and the cost is $1,200. 280-9809, 280-9809.
Up next, this one I'm kind of puzzled on, Miss Christie.
Okay,
so
you want me to do it? Well, they had they were given a gift of a trench coat, and you know, they enjoyed it. They lost it somewhere in Transylvania County. They were out and about, so they can't really pinpoint one location where they were. I don't know if it fell maybe out of the back of a truck or, you know, a window. So I don't know exactly how.
Okay.
But they lost it. It's a black trench coat. It's a man's. And it's a gift, and they really would like to get it back. And then I'll go ahead and do those items, and you can just grab the next one.
Well, that's what I was confused about, because I was like, so is all that for sale under that? Are they looking for it?
So okay. They lost the trench coat. Then for sale, they've got a 84 Chevy S10 4-speed. They have got a long wheelbase ladder rack that was made for a Ford, and they've got a brand new air compressor. The number, 884-5830-884-5830.
This next item is a Kenmore canister vacuum, and it comes with a package of bags. They're asking $25. You can contact them at 828-692-9359. 692-9359.
Job openings. James and James Environmental is looking for a full-time office person Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and insurance provided after 90 days on the job. They're also looking for a full or part-time water and or wastewater licensed operator, truck and cell phone provided, and insurance after 90 days on the job. Call or message Juanita James at 674-8171, 674-8171.
Up next, we have a Bowtech Guardian hunting bow for sale. It comes with a quiver, arrows, a hard case shell, a wrist release, and it's ready to hunt. They're asking $350 or best offer, and you can contact them at 828-606-2594, 606-2594.
Here is an alternator for a 2000 Chevy Blazer. They're asking $45. 891-4544, 891-4544.
There's 20 unfinished new oak cabinets, wall and base. You can call for the exact sizing and make them a reasonable offer. The number is 828-877-3099, 877-3099.
And that's our items for today. And over in our day book, see here that we've got anniversary today, Clyde and Melissa Bryson. So happy anniversary to you, dear folks.
Happy anniversary.
And then birthdays today. Happy birthday to Mr. Carol Lewis.
Happy birthday.
And then also Sister Cheryl Nicholson.
And happy birthday, Miss Nicholson.
God bless Miss Cheryl. Miss Cheryl is married to Brother Charles Nicholson, and four sons.
Four Nicholson sons
that didn't fall far from the daddy tree.
No,
as
they
Brother
didn't.
Charles. we got Daniel, who is on staff here.
Yeah.
Caleb, pastor's church in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Brother Stephen, and then Brother Adam.
Yep.
Four boys. So, Miss Cheryl, God love you, and happy
and
birthday.
And bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
Give and you let's, patience.
Let's
and
add seven grandsons.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They don't have any granddaughters.
Yeah,
all grandsons.
Yeah, so God love you, Miss Cheryl. He has to bring you this far that you've not that you've made it.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart, and I hope you have a great day. And
yes,
her family,
ma'am.
They're good.
We
to
love
her.
Them all.
We just give them all a hard time.
Oh yeah.
Mercy.
Daniel,
day.
He works here, and I work closely with him as far as he's here a lot of the time, and we go at each other and give each other such a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're pranksters.
Oh,
they're pranksters,
yeah.
And but we love them all. And Miss Cheryl, I hope you have a good day. Let's see, four sons and seven grandsons. Yep, that's it. Man, family reunions. It has to be fun around that Thanksgiving, Christmas, everybody getting together.
Yeah.
Lord help us all. Well, Brianna, as always, a pleasure to have you with us today. And Miss Brianna's going to be here throughout the afternoon and evening.
Yes, ma'am.
So we hope that you can stay with us. And we'll go out today with a song from Susan Wisnett, a song entitled I Prayed Through It. Hope you enjoy it. Have a great afternoon. And Lord willing, Brianna and I will meet you back here tomorrow about lunchtime.
Yes, ma'am.
Fearfully facing the the trial of my life, loved ones stood helplessly by. Did all they could, told me to hold on, while Satan said, don't even try. But there in the middle of struggle and pain, I went to the Word for truth. Don't be afraid as long as you pray. So I prayed on until I prayed through. I prayed through it, I stayed through it, down on my knees in prayer. God listened and He hastened and faithfully met me right there. Now folks see me smile at the end of this trial, as if there was nothing to it. I tell them how I made it out. I prayed through it. I don't know how God thinks or determines when and where answers arrive. Maybe we need some time on our knees to work out His will in our lives. When we are praying, we're really saying, I'll trust and depend on You, Lord. There'll be some waiting, anticipating, but you'll know how You made it for sure. I prayed through it, I stayed through it, down on my knees in prayer. And God listened and He hastened and faithfully met me right them how.